RNZ Pacific, Ata Marie, I'm Maratuila Epa Taylor with the news. Tonga's King Tupou VI is urging his people to unite and rise from the ashes of the volcanic eruption and tsunami which devastated the country 2 weeks ago. The king was at his residence on Ewa Island south of Tongatapu when the disaster struck. In a broadcast to the nation, the king said Tongans who can withstand difficulties are those that stand together. He said homes, plantations and infrastructure were destroyed. Three people lost their lives as a direct result of the Hunga Tonga Hunga Ha'apai eruption and tsunami on January the 15th. King Tupou VI expressed his condolences to the families of the victims. Poor weather conditions are preventing a team of engineers from repairing a damaged microwave link on the island of Kau in Tonga. The microwave link would restore telecommunications in the Vava'uan Ha'apai group of islands, which have been cut off from the outside world since the volcanic eruption 2 weeks ago. Digicel CEO for Tonga, Anthony Seosel, says he's now organising for a satellite terminal to be sent to Vava'u.
You know, because the weather forecast is bad for the next week, and we also have been trying for the last few days to get onto Kau, I can't wait any longer. I need to get some sort of communication to Vava'u. So what I've decided to do is send a satellite terminal there, so that at least our ICT customers, we can switch that on for them.
And the first contingent of 50 military personnel from Fiji is expected to be deployed to Tonga this weekend. The group is in Brisbane to join the Australian Defence Forces efforts on the ground in the kingdom. Fiji's Commander Major General Jone Kolawai says his troops have tested negative to COVID-19 and completed the isolation protocol.
10 days was what we thought we could sustain on ourselves. Anything after that, we would seek the assistance and support from the Australian Defence Force. So it'll be more than 10 days or whatever duration that the government Tonga may feel that would require troops on the ground to actually help them and assist them in the tsunami relief support.
Tonga's Prime Minister Siosi Soveleni says since January the 15th, the focus has been on the humanitarian response efforts rather than the rebuilding phase. He also said Tonga is exercising caution to avoid a tsunami of COVID-19 cases in the kingdom. The 23rd death from COVID-19 has been recorded in the Northern Mariana Islands. The US territory's coronavirus cases have risen to 124, ending a trend of declining cases in the past few weeks. The Governor's COVID-19 Task Force and the Commonwealth Healthcare Corporation confirmed the CNMI's latest COVID-19 related fatality in a news release last night. The 124 additional cases bring the CNMI total to 4,564 cases since March 2020. 9 people are in hospital as a result of COVID-19. 2 years of experience with COVID-19 has prepared a health services organisation in New Zealand as they anticipate the impending widespread infection of the Omicron variant in Pacific communities in Auckland. The chief executive for South Seas Healthcare, Silau Sefo, says his team are planning for the anticipated outbreak and are encouraging Pacific families to get a booster shot.
You know, we've got a good template to respond. But again, every variant so far, it provides its own sort of challenges. You know, I'm happy that we've sort of almost had 2 years experience. That's positioned us to hopefully be ready for this. But like I said before, it's you know, it's different. From what we're seeing overseas, I think we plan for the worst and hope for the best.
Silau Sefo says people are fatigued with COVID-19 after 2 years of the pandemic. A COVID-19 modeller in Aotearoa says the number of Omicron cases could double by the end of the weekend. Of yesterday's 105 new community cases, 15 were confirmed to be Omicron, bringing the total number of cases of the variant to 105 also. Professor Michael Plank says Omicron cases tend to double in 2 to 4 days, and it would not be a surprise with the super spreader events associated with the variant.
At the start of an Omicron outbreak, cases tend to double every 2 to 4 days. So we could see numbers continue to shoot up into the several hundreds over the next week or so.
Michael Plank says the number of COVID cases will likely rise faster than previously, and individual steps need to be taken to flatten the curve. And nearly all vaccination centres across Tamaki Makaurau will be open over Auckland anniversary weekend to allow people to get their booster doses and their tamariki immunised in time for school. More than 300 GPs and pharmacies across the city are delivering paediatric vaccinations. The Russian president has told his French counterpart that the United States and NATO failed to address his main security issues in their proposals to ease tensions over Ukraine. According to the Kremlin, Vladimir Putin said his request to halt NATO expansion and the deployment of strike weapons near Russia were ignored. The Russian leader spoke to Emmanuel Macron by phone for over an hour as diplomacy continues over Moscow's troop build-up near Ukraine. Earlier, Russia's Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov said the West's security proposals had contained grains of rationality and again insisted Moscow did not want a war with Ukraine. The Australian government will spend an extra $700 million protecting the Great Barrier Reef. The money will be used to target invasive species and prevent pollutants on land getting into the sea. The Australian Prime Minister Scott Morrison says the investment would also help to protect tens of thousands of tourism jobs that are dependent on the reef.
The reef has always been a priority for our government. And it's been a priority because we know how important it is to the lives of people in far north Queensland. It's important for their livelihoods, but it's also important for their way of life.
The usually colourful reef has been bleached white in many places over recent years because of higher ocean temperatures. Some environmentalists say Australia should spend the money on tackling global warming. The United Nations World Food Programme says that more than 80% of people in the Ethiopian region of Tigray haven't got enough to eat. Aid agencies have been facing severe challenges delivering supplies to the northern regions, where government forces have been fighting Tigrayan rebels for more than a year. The BBC's Imogen Folks reports from Geneva.
No UN food convoy has reached Tigray since mid-December, but the World Food Programme says 100 trucks a day are needed to prevent starvation. In its latest security assessment, the WFP found over 80% of families were food insecure, less than a third are getting the daily calories they need, and in the Afar region, 28% of children under 5 are malnourished. The WFP is appealing to the warring parties to allow supplies in.
In sport, the All Whites' winning streak is over after a 3-1 loss to Jordan in their football friendly in Abu Dhabi this morning. Jordan were ahead 2-1 at half-time, with Chris Wood scoring New Zealand's goal from the penalty spot on the half-hour mark. Rafael Nadal will play for his 21st major title in Australia's Open tennis final against Dani Medvedev. Medvedev booked his second consecutive Open finals appearance with a semi-final victory over Greek fourth seed Stefanos Tsitsipas. Netball New Zealand will not reveal how many silver ferns have tested positive for COVID-19 as part of routine testing while in MIQ. Affected members of the touring party that have returned from a series in England are being managed in accordance with the Ministry of Health guidance and supported by Silver Ferns medical staff. And New Zealand Rugby is considering basing all Super Rugby squads in a central location to help minimise the impact of Omicron on the competition, which is due to kick off on February the 18th. Queenstown has been mooted as a possible location. That's the latest news from RNZ Pacific. For more on our stories, go to our website, rnzi.com.